From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with Marcia Johnson about the current exhibits and attractions on display at Wheels O' Time Museum. Marcia, welcome back to Out and About.
Thank you so much for having me today. There's nothing I like better than talking about what's going on at Wheels of Time.
And it sounds like it's constantly changing, that you have projects coming in and projects coming out in addition to the standby exhibits that are always there.
Well, that's true. And sometimes they're bigger changes than others. This year, the biggest change that we've had in a long time was the addition of the R.G. Letourneau Steel House that is on our grounds now. Opened May 1st, and it's a wonderful, wonderful attraction. Resurrected from nearly extinction. It was in really, really bad shape. And the Komatsu folks who own the factory and business that R.G. Letourneau owned in the 1930s was kind enough to donate this house to a group of civic people, starting with Central Illinois Landmark Association, Wheels of Time, Peoria Historical Society. We also had people from the Central Illinois Labor Union working on it. Core Construction was amazing. They did so much work for us. And this group was able to bring it all together in a period of a year and a half and bring the house from very, very tired and sad to a perfect replication of what it was like in 1938. So it had its 80th birthday present this year.
And so for those who haven't seen the house and aren't familiar with it, what's the significance of it? Is it because it's an artifact of this particular style of construction?
That's true, and Mr. Letourneau was a very, very ingenious person, a genius, actually, has over 300 patents to his name. During the late 30s, he realized there was a terrible housing shortage for his workers, primarily because of the post-Depression life, and at one time, he had 18 of his young employees living with him in their home. Mm. And so he was using this method of construction, which was a 4x6 embossed metal double-sided panel that had some vermiculite insulation in it, and they were spot welding them together to make walls in the factory. And he decided, well, he could make houses that way too. And so these houses are totally steel, roof, floor. People will ask me, well, what are the walls made of? Well, the walls are made of steel. They're very interestingly done. He made two main sizes, 24 by 24 and a 27 by 27, and formed a little community in the area beside the factory, which was below what is now and was the Woodruff Ballpark. They were there until 1943, I believe I'm right on that date, when there was a really large flood and the houses were flooded and things happened. They had to be refurbished and moved, and they had to quit making them in 1941 because of the beginning of World War II. Steel went from being very plentiful and cheap to being very, very valuable, and they had to use it for tanks and planes and things like that. Our guests are surprised because it is small on the outside, and when they walk in, they find it to be remarkably comfortable and pleasant. And I think people who were fortunate enough to live in one of these then probably thought they had a palace.
And Marcia, you said this project was a year and a half in
the
making. It opened in May. Is this going to be now a part of your permanent collection
at the museum? Yes, it will. It will be there forever, basically. The house, we had a crawl space dug, and the house moved by our wonderful friends, the Bologna folks from Farmington. And the house is placed on the foundation. We have heating and air conditioning, which they had heating and it was air cooled, but it was a different kind of system than what we have. And it has been furnished in the 1938 fashion, and yes, it will be part of the museum. And it's part of the tour. There's no extra fee or anything to go through it. We recently installed a flat-screen television inside the door where you leave our firehouse to go visit the statue and the house, and it gives the story of the beginning of the Steelhouse Saga and why it came to be. So that's kind of nice. I didn't mention we also have the R.G. Letourneau statue. The Peoria Park District was kind enough to let us have this on a permanent loan. It had been in Glen Oak Park between the upper tennis courts and the old entrance to the zoo. We approached them and explained what we were doing and thought that it would be really, really nice to be able to have the statue, which had been funded by the retirees of the company some years ago. And it's a wonderful statue. Mr. Letourneau is smiling and looks like he would be happy to greet you. And on the relief of the sides of the pedestal are a number of his inventions. One of the things that fascinates me most that he did invent was the first oil well platform in the Gulf, which he sold to the elder George Bush.
Also on display this year, and new to the museum, you've got a collection of miniatures that depict a World War II-era military encampment. I think you said that not all of the pieces are new, but the way in which they're displayed is new this year.
That's true. We were gifted these by a Washington resident whose husband had collected them over the years that he lived in Jacksonville, Illinois at the time, and went to the Five and Dime every week and bought a new piece. And they are really amazing in the depth of the story of the soldiers. We have people manning the radios of the time. We have the food tents. We have just a wide variety of everything military of that time. And we've been able to set them out and get them in a nice display. We've had them for several years, but we're only able to put out a few of them. And we did some moving around so that we could get the rest of the display set up. And it really is fascinating. And the story, when you think about this young man collecting them over the period of years that he did with his money, and they didn't cost much. He had owned a sporting goods store in Washington and used to have them displayed in his front window. So we're very grateful for that donation.
The museum's open from May through October. So at this point, you've seen a lot of young people, and specifically children, come through the museum over the summer months. Tell us a little bit about the reactions that you get from the younger people as they go through the exhibits.
Oh, they have so much fun. We are lucky that our volunteers and staff have constructed so many displays that are interactive. We have a circus display. We have model railroads. We have a kinetic machine. We have jukeboxes. We have a wooden train that's available for the children to play with in the caboose. They can go in the locomotive and pull cords and do whistles and bells and a button that makes it sound like the train is going. I always tell everybody to stay off the tracks. And they do just enjoy it. We have a monkey and an organ grinder. We have a toy display upstairs, and in that display there are puppets that were in either the Bergner's or the Carson or the Block and Cool display way back when they used to do the displays in the front windows. They are happy and interacting and singing It's a Small World. Lots of things like that through the whole. We have a stereoptic machines. We have a machine that a little boy told me was better than cable TV.
Oh, the biggest compliment.
I know. Ever. I was so pleased. But the children do love it, and many of the adults, when they come with their children, kind of wish they could slow down a little bit and spend just a little bit more time looking at the displays that they're interested in.
It's worth noting that the museum is a volunteer-run organization. Can you talk a little bit about the number of people who are involved and how it is that you keep them all coordinated?
Well, we have kind of three different categories of volunteers. We have those folks who are receptionists, and they man the front desk on the days that we're open. We have project people who do things like restore the fire engine, work on the train cars. We someday are going to have the two Pullman cars from the Vanakens restaurant restored and able to tour. And they just keep up with regular maintenance and build displays, do it. And then we have the folks who come and host every day that we're open. We have a host who gives maps and explains the museum and helps people get around. And we have children's tour guides. And some of the folks do more than one, wear more than one hat. It's kind of an amazing thing. Now, I do the scheduling of the receptionists and the tour and the host so that we know we have somebody coming every day. But the project people just, they work together and they make the decisions on what needs to be done. And our museum president, Gary Bragg, works with them in determining which projects are the most important and what we need to do. But it's kind of amazing when people come to work with us. They find a niche, something that they really enjoy, and they take ownership of it. It's wonderful.
And we should also note that while Wheels of Time is an incredible local asset for families, you also attract a lot of people from outside of Central Illinois that come to visit the museum.
Well, we really do. I think we can thank the internet for some of that. Also, there are publications around. There are a lot of people who are really, really fond of going to automobile museums. And we were fortunate enough to have one visitor yesterday. They came in a Jeep with California plates, and they were touring the country, going to automobile museums all over, and were going to go clear to the East Coast before they were done. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of the interactive things and all of that, but we began as an automobile museum, and we still do have 50 vehicles that are absolutely amazing. We have everything from a Star, which I didn't know existed, to a 57 Thunderbird. We have a 57 Studebaker Golden Hawk. We have a 1930s Packard that is absolutely gorgeous. We even have a Mercedes Gullwing, which just blows people away. And we have three fire engines. A couple of years ago, I know we talked about the restoration of the 1931 Aarons Fox engine, which had been a Peoria engine. It is gorgeous. And the scrapbook of all the pictures of what the volunteers who put this machine back together again is phenomenal. It had been in our storage building for 29 years. Before we had the capacity to be able to fix it. And there was no instruction manual. And it is absolutely gorgeous. And while we talk about the children attractions, this museum is for everybody. There is no age group that isn't going to find something at Wheels of Time that is going to interest them. And there is no possible way that you could remember everything you saw in one trip. I have been there for over 10 years, and I discovered something the other day that I knew nothing about, and it happens all the time. So we just encourage everyone to please come out and visit us, and if you were there 20 years ago, well, maybe you should come again, because it's different, and you're going to have, I can guarantee you're going to have a good time.
We've been talking with Marcia Johnson about the Wheels of Time Museum. The museum is open Wednesdays through Sundays until the end of October. It's located at the corner of North Knoxville and West Woodside Drive in Dunlap. Thank you again for being with us today.
Thank you. It was a great time.
And Chicago Shakespeare in the Parks is free and coming to Peoria this weekend. A professional production of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream will be presented in Glen Oak Park tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. For more information, visit www.chicagoshakes.com/Peoria.
And the Peoria Park District and the Indo-American Society are bringing India Fest back to the Peoria Riverfront this weekend. It includes live music, Indian dancing, and food, and other opportunities to explore India's culture and history. The event is tomorrow from 3 to 9 p.m. on the CEFQ Center Stage.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.